racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Oh, when the Saints,
when the Saints,
oh, when the Saints,
when the Saints,
when the Saints go marching in. I want to be among that number when the Saints go marching in.
Oh, when the Saints go marching in. Well, you guessed it. That may have been the walk-up song for the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. If Jay and I were playing at the Zurich Classic, I'd have been thrilled to have Jay as a partner, but I don't think Jay would feel that way. Hi and welcome. I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. So what did you think, Jay? Success, or maybe we will not do that again with the walk-up music to the first tee for the players?
I got to tell you, Bob, and be honest, you know, somebody told me one time, he said, be honest with the listener. I didn't see an ounce of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. I had zero interest in this tournament. To me, New Orleans is a wonderful town, but the Zurich Classic and the team thing just does nothing for me. I hope the walk-up stuff went good, very similar to what we see with the Madness out in, Scottsdale. I think it's okay for 1 week. But I've got a real problem. We had this build-up to the final round at Augusta, and I've got to tell you, since then, to me, golf has been off the radar. It comes back this week, and we're going to talk about that. But I think when we see the new schedule next year with the players in March, and then, you know, from March until July, you will have a signature event every month. This, to me, just a real low. Hey, I understand guys got to play, guys got to make money, you got sponsors, all that jazz. But this team thing in New Orleans, it does nothing for me.
Gee, I wish you had told our listeners exactly how you felt instead of hiding your feelings like that. Well, anyway, there was a couple of guys that were happy they were down in New Orleans, yep, even if Jay Randolph wasn't watching it. And I'd be candid, I didn't watch that much of it myself. Billy Horschel, he's a Gator playing with Scott Piercy, who's from San Diego State. The one thing that you would have noticed, had you watched it, Jay, there seemed to be an inordinate number of alligators. If they were trying to promote people to go play that golf course, I'm not so sure it's mission accomplished. I mean, some of those gators look pretty big.
No, I saw some of the pictures when I glanced at the leaderboard at PGATour.com or different spots. And let me tell you something. You got two big-time players that won here in Billy Ho and Scott Piercy. I think Scott Piercy has still not gotten to the level that he could be. I mean, I think he's a top 50, top 30 player potentially in the world. And they were off the pace. They got it done on the final day. And, the final day being alternate shots, that was a format that worked out great for them.
Yeah, it did work out great for them. And here's what Horschel had to say about it.
The better players, the better teams, obviously are going to rise on Sunday. It's a lot more volatility. You got a lot more action. So that's why, I knew we needed to play a really great round yesterday, because I felt the way we play, how good ball strikers we are, I felt like we could really make up a lot of ground, especially if the teams up top dropped a little bit, and that's what they did.
You know, I just want to say a couple of things about Billy Horschel. Number one, at this year's Honda, we had some work to do on behalf of the Byron Nelson event celebrating their 50th anniversary. We had prearranged a time with Billy after either Thursday's round or Friday, I forget. But he had a horrendous round that day. Didn't play well at all. Couldn't do anything right. And I kind of thought that, well, he's certainly not going to be wanting to talk about the Byron Nelson. We were in the designated spot, and he came up, and I said, you know, if you don't want to do this right now, Billy, we would understand. He said, no, I made a commitment to you guys. Let's do it. And that showed me a lot. And number two, for those that may not be familiar, a couple of years back, he did win the FedEx and put $10 million in the bank, which certainly would be carte blanche, Jay, to just sitting back on your laurels and never going to really need any more money. But over the last year, he's probably worked as hard, if not harder, than anybody on the PGA Tour.
No, he's trying to get back to that form that he wowed us with over that stretch, which is why there is the FedEx Cup playoffs. I mean, if a guy gets hot, does what he needs to, he can win that sucker and get that $10 million annuity that Justin Thomas called a cushion. But you know, he seems to be, Bob, a guy that gets it. You know, I'm glad you relayed that story. And what was real key for them was Billy made a lot of putts, especially on Sunday.
Yeah, and Piercy tells us that he relied on Billy.
The way he is on this golf course compared to how I am on this golf course in my mind is night and day. And so, like, you know, they said it was kind of weird that he was reading my putts. Well, his comfort level out here is, I mean, it's so much better than, I mean, so much bigger than mine. I mean, and that's what I needed for here too. So,
well, it's understandable, Scott. His cushion is a little bit bigger than yours. Jay refers to the Billy Horschel 10 mil as a little cushion. I guess that would make him feel comfortable, but he's a competitor. He's a down and dirty competitor. And I guarantee you that Jim Furyk, if he wants to do himself a favor, he's somebody you got to put, down on that piece of paper as getting a serious look to compete in the Ryder Cup when we get to France later on this season.
Well, and you know, it's the fifth PGA Tour win, which is a big number, folks. I mean, you know, winning multiple is big. Bob and I know a lot of guys that just got one and couldn't find another, and this guy's now up to five. And for both of them, you know, you talked about winning the FedEx Cup. For Piercy, it moves him into the top 30 at 27, and Horschel just out at 33. And I think it's going to be interesting. I think this win will have a bigger impact maybe moving forward the rest of the summer for Billy Ho, maybe more than Scott Piercy at 39. But quality stuff on a Sunday. I mean, I mentioned at the top of the show, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't move my bar. It just, I don't understand it exactly. But I'm not going to take anything away from what those boys did on Sunday.
Yeah, a couple of other guys did pretty well. Jason Duffner and Pat Perez actually finishing second, Jay, just one shot back. And then that South African connection of Schwartzel and Oosthuizen, they finished two shots back. Pretty impressed with Patrick Reed. First start since winning the Masters. A little top 10 finish playing with Cantlie.
I don't know if you caught his interview with Bill McAtee and Nick Faldo on Saturday after they got done with play. You know, it's been a very interesting couple of weeks for Patrick Reed. You know, he had the jubilation of winning on Sunday and then basically on Monday, a lot of stories coming out and talk about the family. And I thought it was a good return for Patrick Reed, and it's not going to change Patrick Reed. He was asked by McAtee, he said, does being a major champion winner, winning the Masters, change things for you heading into the Players? Nope.
Yeah. He'll tell you exactly how he feels. I mean, yep. One thing about Patrick Reed, he certainly doesn't sugarcoat anything. I know the people down at Zurich certainly had to be pleased with the fact that they had all four major winners in that field. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And quite frankly, it doesn't happen that often.
No. I don't know what you do. Like you said, this was the best field. Now, they've only done this only the second year. But, I mean, you and I have been to New Orleans for tournament golf. And, you know, it's usually the guys trying to keep their card. that are playing there. And a lot of guys took that week off back in the day. Strong, strong field this week. I don't know what you do. I'm confused. I never know how they're going to, what format they're playing. Are guys paired playing together because they're buddies or somebody said they should or their sponsor should? It's just very confusing to me, but you cannot take away from the field. And as you and I both know, they roll out the red carpet for those boys down on the bayou.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get immediately in contact with the Zurich officials now that you've got a vertical groove driver in the bag and a vertical groove three wood. Your game's coming around. I'm going to get you in the Pro-Am where they have all the delicious food on every hole. Then we're going to take you down to the French Quarter on Wednesday night.
No.
And I guarantee you by the time you wake up Thursday morning, you'll be saying, man, Bob, this is the greatest event on the PGA Tour.
Bob, I spent a month one night at Pat O'Brien's.
And you got the hurricane glasses to prove it, I'm
you
sure.
Got it. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550, in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Talk Sport 2, tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, hey, Alexa, play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
All right, let's take a look forward to this week. It's the Wells Fargo Championship. Once again, back at Quail Hollow. Truly one of the great tests of golf in the country. I mean, it's just an unbelievable test. Obviously, they held the PGA Championship there last August. And by the way, you know, I was thinking in getting ready for the show, as far as what we can do for our Grill Room listeners, I'm going to have, obviously, a little insight into Shinnecock, my neck of the woods, where I grew up and played so many tournaments there. And you, in your neck of the woods, we're going to have the PGA Championship at Belle Reve. And you've been constantly updating us. Yep. And I'm sure that momentum for the 100th anniversary of the PGA Championship is getting bigger week by week.
Bob, St. Louis is a weird town. People wait for the last minute for stuff. And, you know, they get very comfortable and this and that. People are now freaking out. They're figuring out that now there are no tickets for Thursday through Sunday. This is not one of those deals where you just call up and say, yeah, I'd like to get two tickets for Thursday. They're down to practice round tickets. They're running out of those. I sat at a dinner on Monday night with a gal who's been a longtime member at Belle Reve, and she was telling me there's no real member parking on the golf course. This is basically going to become its own little city. There's only going to be a couple of ways in, and people are really starting to get fired up. You mentioned the PGA at Quail Hollow last year. I love this golf course. I just love it, and I think it's better. You know, it would have been a better Bob May venue. You know, as we're going to start to see next year in 2019 for the PGA, but they got theirs. They had tried to get a U.S. Open. They weren't able to get that. They got their PGA. But this golf course should look magnificent this week. You got a mixture of short holes that have risk and reward. You got some beast holes. It's an awesome venue.
And what about the United States Open? With Tiger Woods in the field on the end of Long Island, and we got Jack Nicklaus partaking in a special thing that the USGA is going to be putting on Tuesday, where they're going to honor everybody that won a USGA event in 2017. They're all going to play a four-hole exhibition. That's going to be great. So let's talk a little bit now about the field here at Quail Hollow. You know, there's only two ways for players to get in that Players' Championship, and they're going to have to win this week or get into the top 10 in FedEx points, and everybody certainly wants to play at the Players. Probably, if we're candid, it's the fifth major. It'll never be a major. It doesn't have to be a major. It's an unbelievable event on the calendar with maybe the strongest field in golf, and everybody wants to play down at Ponte Vedra.
Yeah, in a way, I think it's a championship that stands on its own, alone from those four majors. I don't think we need a fifth major like they do. The LPGA, hell, they might be up to six majors. I don't know. The Champions Tour, I think, has got five. We're a game of tradition. We got four major championships. That's what we got. And we got a Players' Championship, which is the Players' Tournament at their spot at the Beeman Creation. And it's a wonderful event. And this is a great prelude to it, Bob. When you look at the guys playing, because the quality of this venue and the way they're treated down there, Phil, Tiger, Rory, JT, Justin Thomas, Jason Day, Patrick Reed, Paul Casey, Adam Scott. And don't forget, we talked about young Joaquin Niemann, maybe the next Rombo, John Rahm. Joaquin Niemann, he gets in here. Back in the day, we talked after the show the last time. Janice brought up the point, I'm not sure if he'd get in here because it used to be a limited field, but now that it's a full field event, and I'll be interested to see how he does on his first trip around there.
Well, with any bad luck, I'll be representing the Grill Room next week at the Players, and I said bad luck because en route to the Players' Championship, we'll have to make one little stop in Biloxi, Mississippi. So if my luck's really good, I don't know. We may be doing it from a casino floor in Biloxi. I think it's a good time now, Jay, switch gears for a moment and go vertical in our Groove Up with Vertical Groove Golf feature as we catch up on the PGA Tour Champions. It's John Daly's week to defend his Insperity Invitational title right here in the Woodlands just outside of Houston. I'm sure we're going to be talking with John this week, and we wish him certainly all the best in his defense. Also, key to note that Kenny Perry, reigning senior Open champion, he's going to be playing here, and he's going to be using that vertical groove driver, which people are still talking about. He used it on the 72nd hole at last year's Senior Open when he didn't have to hit a driver, yet had enough confidence to do that. And a couple of other guys, Jay, I'm looking down the list, they're going to be playing some vertical groove equipment.
Let me tell you, Doug Garwood is one of those few guys that didn't spend 15, 20 years out on that regular tour. And when you get the opportunity to get out there and can stay out there like Doug Garwood has, that's big. We expect somewhere between 10 to 15 Champions Tour players are going to be using the vertical groove driver this week down in Houston. And don't forget Cal Kaveckia. He's using the vertical groove three wood. I opened the box today and I smiled because this is the look that we grew up with. Not these jumbo heads. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I like a club I can feel in my hands and I feel confident with. And I can't wait to hit my three wood later this week. Bob, if you said mimic the driver because the driver is fantastic and take it down a notch to the three wood, they've done it.
Mission accomplished. Well, other news at the Insperity Invitational, Secret Golf. It's one of golf's fastest growing digital media companies, and it's headed up by Steve Elkington. He's teamed up with Insperity to release a revolutionary interactive phone app for the 2018 Inspirational Invitational. And guess what? It's a free download, Jay. And you're far more techie than I am. What are some of the things you're going to be able to get on this app?
Well, what's really cool about it, Bob, is it gives you detailed course strategy, graphics, these amazing flyovers now they do with the drones, something called a putt predictor from Stracoline, which is what the caddies are using. All the details, pairings, information from the Insperity Invitational. This is the wave of the future. This is where we're going, and I highly recommend checking it out.
Yeah, we'll be talking with Steve down at Insperity. Looking forward to that opportunity.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room, and you'll be connected.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. He's Bob, I'm Jay, glad you're with us, and it's time now to head to our Vertical Groove hotline and see what in the world and where in the world Alex Maselli is.
Hot topic, when talked about, hot topic.
Joining us as he does every week on the Vertical Groove hotline, founder and publisher of Morning Read, Alex Maselli, just back from a trip abroad, and obviously, I know you had an opportunity to play Carnoustie, where the Open Championship's going to be played later this year. How's the course in good shape, and what do you think of it as a test for our Open Championship?
Well, I think the golf course has done pretty well, considering the winter they've had in the UK, which isn't any different than the winter we've had pretty much in the United States. A lot of the courses are struggling in regards to conditioning, but both the old course, which I played, and Carnoustie were in really good shape. In fact, the Carnoustie greens were fast. They made a slight change on number three. People might remember it as a short par four that they created this huge bump in the middle of that they took out right before they had the Women's British Open there. But now what they've done is they've expanded the fairway to the right, allowing players to go both right and left, making the hole a much better hole than it was before. But all in all, the course was in fantastic shape for April. And I think it's going to be one of the better opens, partly because, you know, if we got so excited about the Masters and how all the players that had a chance to win, those same players are the ones that are going to be showing up in Carnoustie in a couple months. So I don't think there's any question that it's going to be an exciting open. And in regards to the test, Bobby, let's be honest, there's not probably a better golf course on the Lynx Rota from a test standpoint than Carnoustie.
Well, I'm certainly going to be looking forward to getting over there later on this year. Let's switch gears and just want your take on this. And we're talking to Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read, coming your way courtesy of Vertical Groove Golf. It looks almost a certainty at this juncture that Houston is no longer going to be a PGA Tour stop. Speculation has that there'll be a brand new event in Detroit, perhaps taking the place of Houston. What are your thoughts on the city of Houston's magnitude not having a PGA Tour stop?
Well, first of all, I think I disagree a little bit with your premise. I know what people are talking about Detroit. I'm almost positive Detroit is going to get an event, but I don't think Detroit's going to get the event that was the Houston date or the Houston spot. I think Detroit's going to be taking some other spot away from somewhere else. And I think that both Detroit, which is in basically in a revitalization mode, I think it's a great place to have a golf tournament. Michigan is a huge golf state. And at the same time, I think the PGA Tour is doing everything, and I mean everything possible, to make sure that Houston is still on the schedule in 2019. And in fact, when I was in the UK, I talked to a company that was approached by the tour, in fact, to sponsor the Houston event. So I know the tour is working very hard, as well as Steve Timms is, about trying to keep Houston as a golf town and a PGA Tour venue. And I don't think there's any question that they're going to be. So I probably just have to disagree with the premise in total, Bob.
Well, this is rather amazing. Alex Maselli disagreeing with me. I wish I could say it was the first time, but I have to be more accurate and call it the most recent time. Alex Maselli, founder, publisher of Morning Read, thank you so much for joining us. Glad you had a good trip to Scotland and look forward to seeing you down the road.
Always great to hear from our pal Alex Maselli. You can check his stuff out at morningread.com. Bob, I think anybody that's ever been there or played it knows Carnoustie probably the toughest open venue.
Well, I think you're right, Jay, and you've been there. You know what it's like, and it's just going to make it just fits in nicely this year with the majors. We've already talked about it on the show to have Carnoustie as the open venue. I'm very happy. The one that I have a lot of concern with is the Houston Open. Steve Timms, the main man there, the Houston Golf Association, maybe one of the premier, is the premier golf association in America. I'm not getting a good read. Alex, as you heard him say, said the tour is working really hard to keep it. Be kind of very disappointing if Houston doesn't have a PGA Tour stop.
Well, it would be, Bob. It's a great golf town. And, you look back on the Houston Cougar golf program back in the day and how strong they were and so many good courses down there. I hope they can get it figured out. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio. If you can't find it there, then you just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play the Grill Room Golf Show and you'll be connected. Time for another short timeout. And when we come back, we'll introduce a new feature that we'll be hearing from time to time. So don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Glad you're connected with us here on the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm fired up. I get to hit my 3-wood later this week. You can check it out at vertgolf.com. Customize yours. In conjunction with Golf Life Navigators, the ultimate resource to helping people discover, experience, and ultimately secure their ideal golf lifestyle in the Sun Belt, the Grill Room is proud to partner with Golf Life Navigators and Voice the Game. Interesting and exclusive interviews with notable golf media that have just amazing stories to tell you through their years of covering professional golf will come your way. Kelly Elbin, host of Voices of the Game, has a unique background, and golf has been a part of his life that few people may even know about. So in this week's episode, Bob's going to turn the tables on Kelly, and Kelly becomes the guest. Here you go.
Hi, this is Kelly Elbin with Golf Life Navigators. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Voices of the Game, where we spend a few moments with outstanding golf media talking special moments, special times in the great game of golf. Joined again by our good friend Bob Bupka, more than 35 years covering this game. Mr. Bupka, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Kelly. And I'm going to turn the tables just a little bit for our listeners, because we all know your career with the PGA of America, but you have a rich history in this game. I want you to tell our listeners about your dad, who was legendary as a golf professional, even leading to the opportunity for Kelly Elbin to be a caddy during a Ryder Cup.
That is right.
I mean, that is so fascinating. Share that with us.
Well, Bob, you're very kind. Thank you. I was very fortunate to be the director of communications for the PGA of America for 11 years, was also the editor and associate editor of PGA Magazine for about 6 or 7 years, the publication that goes to PGA club professionals throughout the country. But really, Bob, I'm the product of an extraordinary person, Max Elbin, born in 1920 into a home in the mountains of Western Maryland, born to nothing, as were many kids of that time, learned the game as a caddy, eventually rose to become the head professional at Burning Tree Club, which is a, quietly say, all-men's club in the Washington, D.C. area. Served there as the head professional, Bob, only for 50 years. From 1945 to 1995, teaching presidents of the United States along the way the great game of golf, starting with President Eisenhower, going all the way through the first President Bush. So in and of itself, an extraordinary run as the PGA head professional at Burning Tree Club. Well, my father also wanted to give back to the game. It was his very nature. And so he ran for national PGA office. And in fact, in the late 60s, he became the president of the PGA of America. Was the last three-term president of the PGA of America, 1966, 67, and 68. All of the current PGA presidents, who are golf professionals, served two-year terms. Bob, the time that my dad was the president of the PGA was a tumultuous one. And it was tumultuous because ultimately the players who, what you now know as the PGA Tour, broke away from the PGA of America. And quite honestly, it was understandable. Television had come along. Arnold, Jack, Gary Player, people were beginning to know these individuals. And they felt like we need to have our own operating system separate from the PGA of America. And in hindsight, the extraordinary success of the PGA Tour is undeniable. But my father was just the right person for that time because, among other things, in the agreement that the PGA of America forged with the PGA Tour, my father recommended that the PGA of America keep an event called the Ryder Cup, which at that time was a mismatch. It had been clearly dominated by the United States against Great Britain and Ireland. And really, while it was on the map internationally, Bob, it wasn't really a competitive event. It all changed in 1979 when Europe came in. And instead of being the U.S. against just a portion of Europe, it was all of Europe. So all of a sudden you have Bernhard Langer, and you have Seve Ballesteros, and you have the Ryder Cup of what you see now, which is the greatest spectacle in the game. There's just no question about it. My father, upon his time at the PGA, when it ended, he continued to serve on the Rules Committee at the PGA Championship as a past president, served on the Rules Committee for 30-some years. So my summer vacation for many years was wherever the PGA Championship was played. 1974, outside of Detroit. We happened to be staying at the same hotel as Lee Trevino. I took a liking to Mr. Trevino. He gave me his hat after he won the PGA Championship that year. And then 5 years later, he calls my father in July of 1979 and says, "Max, I'd love to have Kelly caddy for me at the Ryder Cup at the Greenbrier." Again, this is the first year that all of Europe is competing. And my dad, being the honorable man that he was, says to Lee, "Well, Lee, let me check with my wife and I'll get back to you." And he checks with my dearly departed mother, and she says, "Well, Max, he's just starting college," which I was at the University of Richmond in August of 1979. "He's just starting college, and I don't want him to miss those first few classes." Well, being the youngest of five, coddled from the beginning, my youngest of three sisters, Nancy, finds out that my mother has said, "No, he can't make it," and says, "Mother, for God's sake, if you deny him this, Kelly will never forget it." Sure enough, I was on that plane from my first couple of days from University of Richmond, took a puddle jumper over to White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, seen the golf course, went out for the very first round of the very first day of the Ryder Cup that Friday, caddying for Lee Trevino, who happened to be playing with Fuzzy Zeller in the first pairing. Can you imagine such a thing? And it was off the charts incredible. Now, one other thing I failed to mention, Bob, why didn't Lee's caddy, why couldn't he make it? Well, his caddy informed him, it was before Herman Mitchell, he informed him that, "Lee, I just can't make it that week. I have other things. Now, can you imagine a caddy today? No, that would not happen. So that kind of gives you an idea of where the Ryder Cup was in 1979 when all of Europe came in to what it is today. And having that opportunity, though, being the son of an extraordinary man, first and foremost, a great father, and an incredible PGA professional, put me in that position to have those 3 days with Lee, which were unbelievable. One anecdote, by the way, Bob. That first day, Trevino hits a drive. I want to say it was the third or fourth hole. And it ends up on a cart path. And it was a little bit of a kind of a gravelly cart path. It wasn't smooth. So he could drop, of course. But on either side, the grass was rather high. It was of no benefit to him to drop it. So he mulls it over for a minute, and all of a sudden he picks a 6-iron out of the bag, and the crowd's kind of going, "Oh my God, he's going to hit it from the cart path," right? So sure enough, he gets down there and hits it. Perfect trajectory, ball lands about 20 feet from the hole, and the crowd is going crazy. He hands me the 6-iron, and being the naive 18-year-old that I was at the time, I looked at the bottom of it, thinking, "Well, for sure, he's got to nick it, clean as a whistle." He gives me that look as if to say, "Come on, kid, I'm Lee Trevino." But it went straight down the middle,
far away. Bob, I first met the son of Max Elbin, Kelly Elbin, in 1992 when he was working for the PGA of America. Really good guy. Nice to see him having that type of success.
Certainly want to thank Kelly Elbin. Fascinating stuff, rich background in the world of golf.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.